Just give me right now, right now. Just give me right now, right now. Just give me right now, right now. Just give me right now, right now, right now, right now. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Laceyology. Alright, so real quick, you know, I gotta say that if you're listening to this podcast on some kind of podcast streaming source, don't forget you can also find it on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, type Laceyology in the search bar or Lacey and Freshie Productions. Also, if you are watching this video on YouTube or this podcast, I want you to know that you can also stream it on any podcast streaming source. That way, you can listen to it on your way home from work or on your way going to work. Just go to pretty much every podcast streaming source and type in Laceyology or Lacey and Freshie Productions, because this is brought to you by Lacey and Freshie Productions. All right, so if you guys are watching this, then you know who's sitting beside me. You're probably confused, like, what? If you're not watching this, then you don't know who's sitting beside me. I'm gonna tell you guys that I have wifey on the show. I'm gonna have wifey on the show for the next few episodes because Corona. And since I don't want to have anybody over to record, because not saying y'all got some, but I will say I'm not out here having sex without condoms. So so do not put myself, wifey, or our babies, okay, we got cats, in danger or jeopardy. I have elected not to have anyone on the show. And look, I just figure she at home with me already, so we might as well record because you guys keep coming at me. So, without further ado, is that the right thing to say? I don't know. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Bae.
What's up? No, I'm joking. What's good, everybody? It's your girl, Freshie. I'm just going to do a Freshie takeover while Rona's in town. And hopefully you guys get to pick my brain a little bit with Bae.
Ro-Ro, so we told the listeners and the viewers a little bit about you.
Tell them about me. All right, so I'm an athlete. Well, I was an athlete, a former professional athlete in two sports. I make music. You guys see that I'll be acting and trying to get into modeling a little bit. So director, photographer, videographer. I do a little bit of everything, you know, just try to stay busy.
Just a little bit, but today we're going to focus on sports. So we're going to cover sports because I'm not an athlete. I've never been an athlete because I was like, no, when I was a kid. And so I always wondered, though, what happens to athletes, you know, post sports?
Right.
And specifically female athletes. And I was telling her, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this is because I watch Love and Basketball. No, but for real, it's because I did watch Love and Basketball when I was a kid. And there was a girl on the in the movie talking to Monica about, like, you know, well, what else is there for us? And she mentioned one of the players who stopped playing basketball, and she ended up working at a library. And so I've always wondered what happens to female athletes after sports, and the question has just never been answered because I don't see any female athletes outside of their chosen sport. Once they retire, it's like, where did they go? And so I decided to bring in my own in-house athlete to talk about sports. So before we do, please tell me how you would define athlete.
I feel like an athlete is somebody that takes the physicality and the drive of working hard, like definitely working on themselves, their body, to aspire to a goal and to reach to the highest point that they can get to. Because there are a lot of people that are in sports, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a true athlete. Some of them just do it as hobbies, just to keep themselves busy. But to me, a real athlete is somebody that actually wants to be professional and try to get to the Olympics, or that they have a long-term goal in mind. It's not just something that they're doing to pass time.
I like that. I like that a lot. I would say an athlete is Monica. I'm kidding, but I'm stuck on this. All right, so what happens to female athletes after sports? Where do they go?
I feel like a lot of us end up going in different directions. Honestly, like a lot of basketball players, for example, they start like their own camps. Like I know people that went to USC with Gamecocks. A lot of people know who they are, basketball. And they have their own training camps. They do volunteer works, and they really try to get involved with the kids to make them love the sport as much as they did as they were growing up. A lot of them get into actual coaching, so they go to like their old high schools, or they go to local high schools in their area or colleges, and they try to get in to be coaches, assistant coaches, or just like not like a walk-on coach, but like they'll coach for free to get the experience to try to be a coach somewhere else. That's what they typically do. Or they just fall off all the way and just do like personal training or yoga, or like they'll do something drastically different. And I feel like even with that, that's kind of tough, because you either love the sport so much that when your time is up, let's say you got injured and you can no longer perform, then you got to take a step back. Some people are just so heartbroken that they don't want to be involved with the sport at all. And so they'll just do something drastically different, like somebody who was a librarian.
Bro, she was a librarian at the library. But see, I do know a couple of athletes, female athletes, who did that. They created their own camps, right, and stuff. I know one female in particular, she actually created it's not even a camp. It's like it's a program for elite athletes, but it's not to teach them athletics. It's to invite athletes in while they're still in like high school and junior high, so that she can teach them contracts, accounting, money management, handle exposure, like stuff like that. That's really what she teaches them, mm-hmm, which I love.
Yeah, that's great.
Like I love that so much, and it's a nonprofit organization. And that's, I think, a one person that I know that was like an athlete and then turned, because a lot of people, they'll just work in their field, whatever the degree they have. And then they'll start telling you about stories later on where they're like, oh, yeah, I...
Well, yeah, a lot of, especially like the athletes that I know, most of us got degrees in like communication.
Yeah.
And you can do almost anything with communication.
Right.
But it's also one of the more easier things to do while you're in school, because you're so busy with sports that you don't want to do like nursing or like something that could also be a passion of yours. But that makes sense. I actually wish that I had a program like that that I was involved in when I was growing up, because my parents didn't know anything.
Right, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, so you just, you know.
I love that she does that. It's the coolest thing ever, and she actually has, like, pro athletes come in and, like, volunteer with the kids on the weekends. And
I like it.
They do a summer camp, so it's really cool. All right, so talk to us a little bit about your athletic history.
So I grew up doing everything. Not really track. I did track rugby when I was like a little kid. All right, no, not like rugby, but like I did volleyball, I did soccer. I did track when I was a baby. Did I say basketball already? Basketball, softball, did that for a while.
Is you okay?
I did tennis while I was in summer camps, swimming.
Not like sports you played as a kid, but like...
Right. So to build off of that, when I got into like high school, I focused more solely on basketball, but I also did volleyball. And so when I was looking to go to school, I wanted to get a basketball scholarship. So I ended up taking a basketball scholarship, and that's how I got to Charlotte originally. I turned down the D1 offers, and I went D2 because I do a lot of, obviously, extracurricular activities, like music and stuff, and D1, like, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So I went to school on a basketball scholarship. I was going to walk on the volleyball team while I was there, but I decided not to do that. So after my first season of basketball, I walked on the track team, and that's how I ended up doing that. And then I was a dual sport college athlete for 2 years after that. And I ended up graduating college with 13 All-American titles for track and field and 2 national championship titles for track and field. And then that led me into my professional track and field career, as well as getting picked up to train professionally with the USA Bobsled and Skeleton team. And I did both of those for 2 to 3 years as well.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, but I might just tell you.
I'm scared.
When I first started dating you, You know how like family said, I'm super, super close to my family. So they were like, who is this person that you like met that you let come to your house? And I was like, oh, it's this girl. And they're like, well, what is her name? Because they Google everything. And my older sister runs background checks on everyone. She knows that she ran a background check on her. And so she was like, all right, just tell me who she is so I can Google her. And she wasn't expecting to find like as much on her when she Googled her. I'm not even kidding. She was like overwhelmed with like sports related information. She could only find sports related information. And she like, it made her so excited because she's so into sports. So she started like sending me all the articles that she found when she, I'm not even kidding you guys. I was flooded with articles and newspaper clippings and interview clips. And I was like, I've seen all of these. She's like, did you know that she, and I'm like, girl, please stop sending me this stuff. So now, you know, she was overwhelmed with, and she was like up all day, literally Googling.
That makes sense. Hey, yeah. Arma.
That's crazy.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So, okay.
It's been a fun ride.
You no longer play sports? Question mark.
Correct.
What was it for you that made you stop playing sports? It wasn't fun anymore.
Nah, sports is fun.
I'm gonna say that because Monica said all of it.
I also feel like a true athlete would never say that any sport's no longer fun. Like, you're always going to enjoy it, but that's a true athlete. So when I was in college, the reason why I stopped playing basketball in college was only because I did not like the new coach that they brung in. And we did not...
A true athlete wouldn't say it.
No. This was to the extreme where she was putting her hands on me and stuff like that. And like,
did
I
you
was
guys mess around?
No. This is a whole lady. It's old lady. But like, I'm complaining to the athletic department. I'm telling them like, and the team is seeing everything. Like, it got so bad that I'm just like, I can't be in this environment no more. And that's why I quit. And then, fun fact, when they were getting rid of the coach, they were trying to get me to come play basketball with them again.
Did you?
No.
Why?
Because, all right, so the way that things are structured, you got 4 years in school, but since it's D2, things are like a little bit iffy. So I played basketball for those 2 years, and then that means that my indoor track and field season, I never did. So I still had 2 more years of school, and that's when I did the grad school. Now, while I was in grad school, that's when they were trying to bring me on, but I felt like y'all didn't take my discomfort and like my... not safety, but like, y'all didn't take any of what I said to the extreme. So, but because we had, oh, and the record was terrible. Like, the reputation of the school decreased when they brought in that new coach in. So to me, I'm like, I'm not about to come in and save your program and like help you guys out when I was really trying to, you know, give you guys 100% and help the program and, you know, be conscious and open and honest about what I'm going through. If I felt like they didn't care. So that's why I was like, you know, I'm just done with this school. Now, I did do Pro-Am, which is, you know, most collegiate and professional athletes, they come in throughout the summertime. We have a league. Shout out to Anthony Morrow, and that's in Charlotte. So I did that for multiple years just to kind of stay in shape with that. But I didn't realize, well, I knew that I was a fast athlete, but I didn't realize how well I would be at track and field. I didn't want to admit it. Me and my dad went through a lot of, you know, arguments when I was a kid. But I was so good at it that I was just like, I'm going to focus on just this. So I'm now going to give this 100%. I'm going to, you know, turn some heads, come out the woodworks and just do this, that, and the third. So now that I've done that, and I did bobsled and skeleton for a while, with them I felt like, you know, I was wasting so much money, but I didn't actually love it. Like, I felt like I was just doing it to prove to people that I could do it, or just doing it just to go to the Olympics and things like that, but I didn't truly love it. And so I just got to a point where I'm like, do I want to spend $2,000 on a sled, or do I want to spend $2,000 on my film equipment? And I was like, I'd rather spend it on my film equipment. So I was just like, that was kind of tough for me because I don't really quit a lot of things. From there, it was just kind of like, I'm done. But I was doing bobsled and skeleton as well as track and field on top. Like, I was doing dual sports for so long at that point, my body was tired. So I was getting injured more often. And I just felt tired. So I was like, I'm going to just take a break. And that's what I did. And my break just
prolonged.
Yeah, just got longer and longer and longer. And I'm only 26, so I can easily just start, you know, competing again, especially with track. That would probably be the only thing that I would give 100% to. Basketball, I think I would want to, but I don't know. I wouldn't say that a coach took my love for the game because she didn't, but I just don't see it as what I want to do. Like, I knew as a kid I only wanted to make it to the WNBA just to prove to people I could do it. But track and field is one thing that I actually loved. So,
right. I don't know. What made you want to take a break?
Yeah, my body was tired. Like, I was physically just tired. Like, I had not had a break because it was track and field, and then it was once track and field, basketball. And once basketball was done, I did outdoor track and field. And then once I stopped doing that, I did indoor, outdoor track and field, and then bobsled and skeleton. So it's like I was just always in elite shape, like trying to do 100%. I didn't have an off season, literally. Didn't have an off season for anything. And I was just like, I'm tired. Like, I'm physically tired.
What's indoor track and field?
Track and field inside.
What's different? Like, what's the difference between?
So the outdoor track and field, the track is 400 meters. Indoor is typically 200. And then there's, it's during the winter. So you don't run outside in the winter time. So that's where that is. And I like it. I like the bank tracks. It kind of has like a... Yeah, never mind. But yeah, I enjoyed it. That's mostly when I went to Boston and stuff, and I was competing professionally and collegiately. That was it. And that's also, I did the USA National Championships. That was indoor as well.
So what made you work outside of, because you're in the beginning of this, one of the questions I ask is like, what do a lot of athletes do once they're done, or like female athletes? And you said a lot of female athletes, you know, work in some type of field of sport,
mm-hmm.
Or training.
Why didn't I do it?
Yeah.
I don't think I've admitted to myself, which I don't think my time has come where I'm just done with sports. I just haven't been motivated to get back into track, for example. So for me, I never felt like I wanted to coach. I just don't have it in me to coach. Like, I just don't. But I can be like volunteer help and stuff like that. But I don't want to be a coach at all. So there's that. Also, personal training. I don't really care too much about your body and trying to learn all the mechanics and the bio. Like, I don't care much for that type of stuff either. So I don't think I ever get into personal training. So to me, it's just like, I communicate very well. I'm good at sales. I'm good at all this other stuff. I'm just do stuff to make more money and try to.
Why don't you want to be a coach?
Huh?
Why don't you want to be a coach?
I just told you. I never wanted to be a coach.
I know why.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. I could be a coach's wife out here, but you just playing.
I would see. The thing is, I would only want to be a coach at my college that I went to, and then start like my own like programs, like AAU basketball. You go around traveling when you're in kids and you play basketball tournaments and games and stuff. I would do that for track and field. But I would want to start at the school that I went to just because I really love the program and I love the coach that I had, and I would want to learn as much as I can learn from him so I can help other people the way that he taught me.
Okay, so you talked about whether you wanted to spend $2,000 on a bobsled,
skeleton sled, or $2,000 on film equipment.
Yeah. How does an athlete, somebody that's dedicated to athleticism, how do they find love in other things? Or do you think that there are a lot of athletes that have love for other things, but they don't really explore it?
Both. So I'd always been creative. I've always been into the arts and making music and stuff and writing. Like, I've always done that. Again, that's why I chose not to go to a D1 school. And I went to a D2. Now, a lot of athletes, they'll end up going the D1 route because they're one of the people that are like, I want to make it to the Olympics. I want to make it to this. Like, this is my lifetime goal. Like, especially with men, I really want to make it to the NBA. Like, so they're going to do anything that they can and probably do that on the side. But for me, I always wanted to balance it out. And I wanted to do both. I always wanted to do both. And again, that's why I chose to go D2. So some people choose to just kind of make it. And then, like, what's one of the ball sons, Lonzo, I believe, he just started making, like, his rap career.
Like Tiana Taylor's husband.
Yeah. So, like, some, like, you see, like, a lot of athletes, when they've made it and they're like, all right, now I'm going to do what I actually love to do, too, yeah. on the side. Like, they'll go ahead and do that. But they're going to give it 300% to get to that level first and then just decide to do all the other things outside of that. But their main thing is always going to be that sport. So, for me, I always chose to do both. I couldn't see it doing it another way, honestly.
Do you feel like a lot of athletes get stuck in that? You know, when you're playing a sport, that takes up a lot of your time. So even if you are interested in something else, you can't like explore that because you don't have the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, do you think a lot of athletes get stuck in that realm of like people only see you as an athlete? Like, I say Tiana Taylor's husband again, because he was like, I want to rap, bro, and everybody was like, no, you don't. So now a lot of rap, like, I want to say Shaq tried to rap long time ago, right? Like, a lot of athletes try to get into other things, but do you feel like people don't take them serious, and why do you think that is?
I think people will take them seriously if they take themselves seriously. Like, Shaq, he did it, but he was still kind of comical in some of the things that he did as well.
No, we just always make fun of him.
And yeah. And so I feel like if it's something that you genuinely want to do, like, people are going to be like, oh, that's crazy. I didn't know you can do that. Oh, I really like The Masked Singer, because a lot of NBA players that are out there singing, you would have never guessed, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, damn, this dude really talented. And so it's like, if you wanted to spend, but you got to think about it, especially on a professional level. Like, you're always in the gym, you're always on the road, you're always on the go. When are you actually going to have the time to go to the studio?
Yeah, you know, for that, there is the time, you know, thing. But there's also the expectation that people have. Like, I feel like if you watch Brown Sugar, I love Brown Sugar, you guys. Okay. The dude that Sanaa Lathan, his character was dating, mm-hmm. he was a basketball player, but he really wanted to be a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that he just really wanted to do. Even when they first met, she was interviewing him because he wanted to talk about how he wanted to get into, like,
right.
the music game. But nobody took him serious. And even, you know, okay. him trying to come in at that guy, even though he was drunk, he came at the other dude like, I need a mentor. That's pretty serious. Like,
right.
every conversation he had pretty much was about how he wanted to get in this music game, but nobody, I feel like a lot of people don't take athletes serious when they're exploring something different than their athleticism.
I definitely think it's easier for them to put people in a bubble if that's all that they've shown them. And then if you come out the blue with this talent, it's just kind of like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know you could do that. You right. know what I'm saying? But if you off rip was like making songs and making raps and doing da 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 da, people know, like, I'm a basketball player. He's a basketball player, but he also make music. It's not like I've known you as a basketball player. I've seen you for a basketball player for 10 years, and now you decide to make a song. Like, it's just like, this is something that you probably just did as a hobby, but not something that you love to do. So it's easier to put people in the bubble if that's all you've shown them.
So do you appreciate the fact that people don't put you in a bubble?
Yes.
Or actually in a box?
Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that people don't put me in a box, but I also never put myself in the box.
Right.
To begin with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, I've always done that. And I've even found ways to, if I'm at school with it, if I'm on the team, like, I've made songs for like my teams to run out to. Like, I've always done it. And even with videos, I've done highlight tapes for my schools. Like, I've done everything. But it's also because I'm not just an athlete. Like, I do all of the above. And I present myself as all of the above. And even at meets, we talk to people. I've met singers at track meets. I met other female rappers at track meets. And we always talk about, like, making songs. When I was bobsledding skeleton, shout out to Katie Ulander. We was going to get in the studio in Calgary, Canada. Like, we was going to make music. Like, but I've always, like, made sure people knew, like, this isn't the only thing that I do. Like, you know me for more than just that.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is good, because I genuinely do feel like a lot of people don't let... I think that a lot of people don't let anybody who they've... who they've come to expect to do one thing, do anything else.
Yep.
That's like even service members.
Yep.
So many service members are multi-talented, but you can only be in the military. And so there's that.
I hate it. I think it's so crazy.
I think it's crazy, but I also just feel like it's because naturally we are nurtured into being closed-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't see past that. You know, like if you went to a church and there was a preacher, but then the preacher was also a good rapper, people would still be shook.
Unless he started his church rapping some of his sermons. They would always look forward to it. They're going to be like, you know, when preachers start rapping at the end of his sermon, things about to wrap up when he start rapping. But yeah, I definitely see it as just that. And I do think that nowadays it's easier to kind of accept like the younger generation because of social media. Like, yeah. Because social media, they're always around. You see them not at practice. So if they're in the studio, if they're hanging out with their homies, if they just in the car and they joking or whatever. Like, you can see this already.
Right.
So you start to see them as people. Now, back in the day, you didn't really have that much access to them.
Right.
So it was all you saw of them was on TV playing these games.
Right.
Like, that's it. So, I mean, that would make sense as well.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
How do you feel like, so earlier we talked about, you know, when you're defining an athlete, somebody who like loves it.
Yeah.
Right. Not just somebody who plays a game, but loves it. How do you as an athlete find equal, if not more, love doing something else?
I think if, let's just say basketball. If basketball was the only thing that you've done since you were a kid and you didn't do any other hobbies or anything like that, it's very hard for that person to do anything else. Like, they're probably going to be the ones that become the coach or start their own team or start, you know, something. They're never going to let the game go. Like, they're never going to do it. But more than enough, there's something in everybody's mind and heart that they enjoy. They just haven't given it the same energy because sports has taken all their energy.
Right.
So it's easier for that person once they're done or they retire to go on and do something else like acting or something, because that's something that they've always wanted to do. They just didn't have the time to do it. So I think I wouldn't say it's black and white because there's a lot of gray areas and everything, but it's kind of almost as simple as that, in a way.
I remember when I was in high school, there was a guy who played football, and I don't remember what his position was, but whatever it was, people really liked it. And so,
did his team have the ball or didn't have the ball? Was he on the?
He played football.
Yeah. Was he like around a lot of people or was he by himself?
I don't know. So, but I didn't go to football games to like watch the game. I went there pretty much because I had to like go there to like show face. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but I was friends with all the athletes, and except for the females. I don't know. I just girls and me. Anyways. This guy, we were pretty good friends, and he's a football player or whatever, and all the girlies liked him, but he also really liked to draw, right? And he was, like, really, really, really super into art, and that was a secret thing that he had, and he genuinely felt like he just couldn't, like, tell people that he was into, like, art and drawing, so he didn't tell people that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that goes into, one, putting yourself in the box, and two, letting like society's expectations for you, because
right.
he was super duper known, you know, for sports and super duper liked and loved for it. And that's what the girls paid attention to. And nobody's paying attention to the dude in the corner doodling.
That makes sense. Honestly, a football player that draws, you know what I mean? Like,
that's so cute. I loved it.
But I'm sure a lot of them draw, but it's just... Especially if he was like a big dude, like a linebacker or something like that. Like,
I think he was a big dude.
Yeah.
I think. But it was high school, so I mean, how do you know? I dated a guy when I was in high school. Oh, I didn't date that guy, but I dated a guy in high school who, he played football. He was the person who I think caught the ball and ran. Running back?
Like, that's how they started? Like,
he caught the ball and ran. Like the dude from All-American.
Oh, okay.
The quarterback
Throws the ball.
Throws the ball.
The wide receiver.
Oh, is that what it is? I don't
know. If he was all the way on the end, wide receiver.
I don't know. All I know is he got the ball and ran. That's what he did. And, but this guy, he used to like, he was super duper duper into like poetry, which for our generation means that he was super duper duper into rapping. And so when we dated, he used to like, he used to write me like, because we did the thing. Okay, so he used to write me these like letters, right, and like put them in my locker, and it'd be like poems, like 2 and 3 page like long poems. And then he would like on the phone at night, he'd be like rapping to me, like, I wrote you a song. But it wasn't That's a cute. Thing that like he would like do it in the, like the talent shows and like like for fun, but he loved it. He really would stay home on a Friday night when everyone else is out celebrating because they won to write. But it was never something that he explored because he felt like he just had to be that person that caught the ball and run, which sucked. And I didn't understand, like growing up, because I'm not an athlete, I never understood how as a person you could let people put you in a box because I never had that kind of pressure.
Well, a couple of things, like they don't brainwash you, but like anybody will tell you, like, you have to give this 100%. Right. Like, that's the only way you're going to make it. So when you have those chances to, you know, go to a record company, possibly get a record deal, but you also have a championship the same weekend, you're going to choose to go to that championship over that record deal. Like, if you really want to be an NFL, like, because they make you choose. I wouldn't say they, but society kind of makes you choose, or you feel like you have to choose instead of do both.
All right, so typically I do this in the beginning of the show, but I'm actually going to do it right now. And that is, let's talk about some stereotypes.
Okay.
Female athletes. Okay, so first, let's just get it out there. One of like the biggest stereotypes is that, and maybe I don't know if you're the right person to ask this question to because you are the stereotype, but
thanks a lot.
Female athletes are gay.
Okay.
Is that true? Are there more gay?
Of course. Of course there's more gay athletes.
Did you read of, and I should have got her name, but there was a, she was a basketball player. She played for a WNBA team a couple years ago, and she basically like penned an open letter about how she wanted to quit playing basketball because, was she in the WNBA or was she in college? Anyways, about how she wanted to quit playing basketball because of how many gays there were.
I remember.
And how people expected her to also be gay, and it made her feel completely uncomfortable.
I feel like that's more, I'm not a professional basketball player, so I don't know about that world. For real. However, I do know other people in it. I feel like that's more so softball. People look at all softball people as gay.
Oh, my gosh. Like, like gay literally sport.
All. But there are a lot of women that play basketball that are straight. Now, there are also a lot of women basketball players that are gay. And I know so many that on social media, you would never guess. They are femme, they do their makeup, they're all over the place. But you can catch them in the gay club, you know, looking like a whole stud. Like, I'm like, what's up, bro? It's like, yeah, I'm on the, you know, I play for the WNBA team, blah, 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 blah. I met one here. I was like, oh, that's what's up, Atlanta Dream, that's crazy, blah, blah, blah. Whole stud, bro, whole stud. And then I was like, yo, she's like, I do acting and stuff as well. I was like, bet, let me get your information. So I'm in a club, and she pulls up her Instagram, and I'm like, I'm just, y'all don't see me looking. I'm looking, yeah. But I'm just like, I'm like, this is not who I'm looking at right now. This is crazy. And like, from now, like, I follow her now, and she literally, anything she posts on social media, she's a whole femme. But you're gay as hell, bro. Like, you're dating my friend. Like, it's, to me, it's crazy that, you know, that persona is that. But then you also know these people in real life where you see people that are more masculine in real life, but on social media or on the courts, they talk more feminine, and they're just, their mannerisms are more feminine. So I can see how other people expect everybody to be like that, because I know so many people that aren't, you know, feminine, but y'all make them look feminine. So probably everybody in the WNBA game. But I know a lot of feminine women that play basketball professionally that are straight. So I can't justify it, but I don't know what goes on in locker rooms either.
Let's talk about harassment.
Okay.
Then, right? Because, you know, in this open letter that this particular female wrote, one of the things that she felt it was important to highlight was how she felt like she was being harassed, right? Because of the expectation that she was supposed to be gay. And if she wasn't gay or if she didn't say she was gay, people were just like, oh, well, you just don't know it yet. Do you feel like there's a level of harassment that also goes on for straight girls from gay girls when it comes to sports that we don't talk about or no?
For whatever reason, I played a lot of sports, but I feel like this is a conversation that's talking about basketball because there's so many straight women in track and field that I can't even think about that when we're having these conversations. So basketball, with almost any other sport, but basketball specifically, this is your family. You're around them more than your actual family. You're there almost 24/7 with this team. And as a lesbian, I can have a crush on my teammate. You know what I'm saying? I'm always around you. You're so cute. I see you without clothes on, with clothes on. You know what I'm saying? I see you in different elements. So I can't say that I'm not in that locker room, or I'm not in any I've never been in any professional basketball locker room to know the truth. But if a teammate had a crush on you, but really had a crush on you and has been a crush for years, and they always make like little jokes or like they'll touch on, you know, because everybody do that in regular conversation. But if you're, let's just say, really religious, you're off-rip going to be offended. Even if the person is being nice, you know what I'm saying? Anything is going to be a kind of like a harassment to you. And I don't know the truth behind the story, but I'm just saying it's possible for anybody that's straight, that's around lesbian women all the time, to feel insecure or uncomfortable.
Right. Because I could just imagine, like, you know, when I read the letter a few years ago, because for whatever reason, I always date athletes, which is weird because I don't know anything. But when I read the letter a few years ago, it was published somewhere, whatever. And I read it with my ex-professional athlete partner, who was a coach at the time. And she was like bothered by this. Like pretty upset, right? And I'm not an athlete, but I feel like as a feminine woman who people find themselves having crushes on, and I'm gay, if I had to be in a locker room all the time where I had to shower, you know, next to you or change next to you, and I felt like you were always eyeing me, you're
right.
It is an uncomfortable feeling. And this female athlete wasn't saying like there should be no gays in sports, but that we do need to talk about or have this conversation.
Yeah,
because there are women who do feel uncomfortable in the locker room with their teammates the same way that they would if they were in a locker room with men.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's crazy.
But, I mean, I think that's a fair conversation to have. I think that if somebody is uncomfortable or you know that they're not interested, stop. You know what I'm saying? Right. Don't make the person more uncomfortable, because it could have happened. But they could have also have done nothing but just look at you every blue moon or whatever.
Because you know they're gay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't read it because I didn't want to read it.
Right. Sorry.
Nah, it's cool. But it's just like, you know, it also could be not her, but there can also be situations where maybe you did slip up one night and you kissed somebody, and then there's like a rumor on the team, and now you trying to fight this rumor, you know what I'm saying, because you decided to dabble a little bit, and now you feel harassed because of that as well. That's also a thing. Don't blame me because you know what I'm saying, you decided that one day you like me and the next day you don't, and then we tried to act on it, and now you gonna, you know what I'm saying?
Ouch. That was terrible wording. I do not condone her. No. So let's talk about another stereotype, and that is that people do not take female athletes as serious as male athletes.
Okay.
So before we had this podcast, I was thinking about this. I do my best thinking in the shower. I know you guys understand. And so I was in the shower and I was thinking about this and I was thinking, I feel like, I don't know why you think this is, because it's obviously true, right? But I feel like it's because men rule the world. It just is what it is. And I feel like men feel like and have brainwashed specific women or some women, a lot of women, into thinking that their place is in the kitchen. Their place is in the kitchen. Their place is at home. Their place is taking care of their family. So when you see an alpha female, you see an athletic female, one who could do the same thing as, you know, this guy or that guy, I feel like men, it doesn't register. Like, they imagine men as, like, the providers. They're supposed to be the ones outside mowing the lawn and doing physical stuff and chopping down trees and, you know, killing bears and carrying them home on their backs. So when you see a man playing, like, a contact sport, you expect that because he's already expected to be more aggressive that way. Mm-hmm. And then when you see a woman playing a contact sport, it's still, to this day, taboo and hard to support because people don't know how to take it because you can't get that idea of what a traditional woman's supposed to be
out of your head. Yes and no. So I think it's more so, and we can use basketball for an example. Right. If you go to a men's game, it's more exciting. There's more roughness. There's more dunks. There's more exciting things that are happening in the atmosphere of the game. Now, you go to the women's game, they're more, even the refs, male or female, you can't touch as much. So there's not as much roughness. So the excitement isn't the same watching a women's game. And we hate it as
an athlete. That's what I'm saying. But it's because who's making the rules? But who's creating the
guidelines? But it's been like that. And even just like before, you know, Brittany Griner and people dunking and Lisa, anyway. Right. Before them, the people that were dunking, like, there's not a lot. Like, you might see her do it every blue moon, but it's still not to the same enthusiastic. But
I read it's because the placement of the actual net.
Like the height of the goal?
Yeah. They aren't placed for women, for most women, for the average female basketball player to actually dunk.
Well, yeah, and they could easily lower it.
Oh, but no, but that's even like when you're a kid playing or when you're in high school playing, the nets aren't, they're placed for men to create a more fun atmosphere for you to watch a guy, but not for women. Because
I think it's crazy because they can lower
they could, the rims,
but they don't. But
that's what I'm saying.
But either way, like to the question, this is kind of like, I think that when people do expect women to be in the kitchen and things like that, but athletically wise, that's why I really like track, because a fine ass woman running 100%, we already know numbers speak for themselves. Like, this is a great sport, male and female, doesn't matter. But basketball, it's literally a difference in the game.
I think it's because the difference in contact.
So it is literally just that. But it's like, as an athlete that played basketball, we hate it when they made new rules that we can't touch more, we can't blah, 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 blah. Like, we can't be as aggressive, because that's how I play. I play rough as hell. And so it just takes the fun away. There's more stopping. It's like, it's more boring to watch. It's less entertaining. And so that's why I think men have more, not success, but notoriety and, you know, just more.
They do have more success and they make a shit ton more money.
It's crazy.
All right, so let's talk more stereotype. Life after sports.
Okay.
Their stereotype is that there is more opportunity for men after sports than there are for women.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? I know why I think it is.
I just feel like people idolize them more. They put them on a higher pedestal. So even if, you know, you're a famous baseball player and you retire, they expect you to be a anchor. You know what I'm saying? They expect you to be on ESPN and talking about other players and stuff like that. They also expect, or they think that men know more. So when that female became, I forgot her name, the first NFL coach, that was a big thing, because I appreciated that somebody actually, you know, understood, like, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, you can know more than somebody else in this room, and truly gave her an opportunity.
And she's so cute.
Yeah. That's yeah. gay. But it's just like, power to the people, you feel me? But it's just like one of those things where they just expect them to know more and be right. able to talk more about sports. They don't expect a woman to be able to talk about what happened in the NFL game last week and then talk about an entire roster of the NBA team and then also know about the baseball and stuff. Like, they expect men to know more and be more diverse. So that's why I think that's a thing.
I definitely agree. And I think that because men, unfortunately, rule this earth, that I feel like it's because they also, they're more popular. So it's like when you see a face that you've known for a long time on the screen, it's easier for you to, earlier we talked about like relatability. It's easier for you to relate to them.
Yep.
On an emotional level, which then makes you more interested in what they have to say. But for a lot of women, because female athletes aren't necessarily popular, mm-hmm. Like they all have their fan bases, but they're not like, they're never as popular as like men.
Right.
They're like your handful in history who have been. So when you see like a retired female athlete or even one that still is playing the game today, coming on a show to talk about sports, you don't know her.
Right.
So it's like, bitch, I don't know you.
Right.
Who are you and why do I care about?
But that's your another opinion. Thing that they talk that we complain about is just like, you know, you guys, how many times have you walked into Walmart and seen, you know, NBA basketball posters? They don't really have any WNBA posters along with those posters.
Right.
You always see when they have another NBA game, like playing on TV or whatever.
Right.
Or they talk about when the next game is going, but you rarely see any, you know, promotion for a WNBA. So, no, they don't get the recognition that they deserve, but it's because they don't give it to them. Like, right. They choose to not because they're going to make more money off the men.
Right, and networks aren't paying for that. So it's yep. like, I'm not doing that. Which really sucks because there are some fine-ass female athletes out there you guys should probably pay attention to.
So and they should pay single. Attention because they fine, not because they talented?
Yes. Well, I don't know how to like judge talent either.
That's why I love track.
And I was talking to Kia a few weeks ago and I was asking her, like, how do you choose whether an athlete is good? Like, how do people choose that to love LeBron more than the other people on his team?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with, like, athletes. Like, how did Lisa Leslie become the face of the WNBA, but not, like, any countless number of other women? That's not shade. I genuinely don't know. Because I don't know how to choose. Like, how do you know? If everyone is good enough to make it to, like, the big leagues, then...
Well, everyone's not good.
No, but the people who are.
Okay. But it's... You look at ratings. Also, style of play. Because we're looking at basketball now. Because, like, you know, people have a certain game and people like swag, you know what I'm saying? Like, people present that in their game. So, people, you like the way someone plays better, you like the style of somebody's shooting, but you also look at their numbers, triple doubles, you know, kind of where they rank on top of athletes that's backed by paper, in fact. But then you also can like their personality when they play. So, it's a number of things that make you idolize or really support an athlete. Most of it is usually judged by how they actually perform. She's shrugging if you can't.
I just shrugged. If you guys are listening, I don't even know. Okay, so I loved having this conversation with you, and we could talk about sports probably all day because there's so many things that we don't really dive into. There are so many things we didn't yep. dive into today. When it comes to sports and some conversations that were like, let's just fly by this real quick. because we don't talk enough about female athletes, there's so many things left to talk about
right.
with female athletes. But we don't got that kind of time today. So we are going to end this video. But before we do you have anything that you'd like to say to the viewers, including... your social media handle?
Yeah. So you can find me on all platforms, Freshie Official. That's F-R-E-S-H-I-E Official on the gram. Also, I still have some of my track and field and basketball stuff up on my athletic page, Real Life of Kia, on Instagram. I don't be on it. I don't use it. But if you want to go look up some of my old hashtags, Nakia's, what is it? Nakia's Skeleton and Nakia Meets Bobsled and Nakia's Track Journey. Those are hashtags. You can see some of my content as well from competing professionally and collegiately. Other than that, you know, if you have a love for the game, if you have a love for a sport, you can figure out a way to still be around it. Yeah, that's all I got.
I'm trying not to ask another question.
What's up?
No.
What's the question?
We are no longer taking or asking questions.
Taking questions? What is it real quick?
No.
I can answer it short. What is it?
Well, you said if you love the sport, then you'll find a way to be around it. And then when you define athlete, it was somebody who loves the game, but you're not around sports.
Yes, I am. I'm literally in a group message about a basketball game that was supposed to happen today that got postponed. Like, I was...
You were never even going to go.
Bro.
You were never going to play. Because of Rona,
she said it was outdoors.
So you're group message, but you're not...
I said, if it's inside, I don't want to do it. So I thought about it, and we talked about other things. But I still want to run track. I had just not been motivated to get back in it. I felt very discouraged. I feel out of shape. Like, it's just a lot to get back to where I've been at because I had been in such an elite shape for so long. So I'm not in a, not environment, like home environment, but I don't have a team here. So it's hard for me to get motivated to get back in it because I still can go back and run professional track. I can go to professional track meet tomorrow if I wanted to. I just don't believe in it myself, but I do want to get back into track. Maybe not basketball for real, but track for sure. We'll see. Follow me on Instagram.
If you want to do something, you find a way.
Yep. There's a will, there's a way.
With no excuse.
Yeah.
Team or no team.
Yep. That's true. I just know how it works.
All right, you guys.
We're better in group settings.
This is Laceology, and we just talked about life after sports with Freshie Official. Don't forget to follow her on social media. Also, don't forget, if you are listening to this podcast on a podcast streaming source, you can find the video recording of this podcast on YouTube. Just type in Laceology in the search bar on YouTube and booyah, your girl can come up. It's crazy. And if you're on YouTube watching this video, hey y'all, hey, and you want to listen to this, you know, like when you're driving to work or like driving home from work, you can just go to pretty much every single podcast streaming source and type in Laceology, and guess what, the audio will come up and then you could just listen to my voice. That's it. And don't forget, this has been brought to you by Lacey and Freshie Productions.
Gang, gang.
Bye, guys.
Peace.